Okay.
You know, to make it 30 days now, they would have like, what? I didn't know. Not that it should matter. You know, they're still supposed to do that, but I don't like...
Point of order. This business has already been handled.
Yes,
no, we're talking about how to handle this motion, Ken.
Well, look, the implementation of the motion is kind of a separate question. We do need to move the agenda, but as we noted, 60 days after the budget deadline is the end of the month. We can also discuss this implementation-wise on the 30th if it does, in fact, pass at the in-person meeting. As a committee recommendation, it's just a committee recommendation. Right? Okay. But I will calendar it for the 30th, and I will get it on the PND agenda. So if it's okay, let's move the agenda forward. I believe that we are moving to the motion on community events record keeping. You were all sent a document, Word document with the agenda, event checklist / final.doc. The first page is a motion. The second and third pages are sample templates or forms that accompany the motion. Let me go ahead and read the motion for the stream, and then we'll have discussion. This came out of two different conversations that the committee had regarding public events at several stations. The motion is authored by Ken Aaron from Los Angeles. And it says, in order to promote transparency and improve monitoring of station activities, the following protocol will be followed for all events conducted by stations, whether done independently or in coordination with another entity. Number one, a pre-event checklist shall be completed and presented to the LSB and National Office at least 2 weeks prior to the event and prior to any contractual commitment being made by the station. The checklist will include a description of the event, a budget, a list, and a description of the principals involved and the intended ownership of any copyrighted material that may be produced. Two, a post-event checklist shall be completed and presented to the LSB and national management no later than 30 business days after the event ends. This checklist shall include a reconciliation of funds received or disbursed, all items sold, gifted, or lost, and tickets sold or gifted. Number three, nothing in this protocol requires LSB or National Office approvals for events. The LSB at the station and the National Office are expected to monitor event activity and exercise their authority to guarantee fiscal prudence. Item four, this protocol applies to any events requiring an expenditure or obligation of $500 or more. This protocol will also apply to a series of events scheduled over a period of time. Item five, the accuracy and timeliness of the checklist are the responsibility of the general manager of the station, who is also responsible for the ongoing success or failure of events held under the auspices of the station. Number six, the attached checklist may be commended from time to time by the national office. And there is a pre-event checklist, just a one-page sheet, and a post-event checklist that are being offered with the motion, with the idea that these would be filled out. So that's the motion on the floor.
Kim, does that?
And we're open for discussion. Kim, is there anybody else on the stack?
Yeah.
Who wants to be on the stack? Jim?
Campbell.
Okay. Campbell?
This is Ken. Could I motivate it just for a second? Because when I make a motion...
Yeah.
Okay, just to motivate it, there could be all kinds of particular things that people want to add or detract. That's why the details are handed in amendments. The intention is in the policy to have transparency so that we don't have unfortunate situations where inappropriate activities occur and so that we do get complete transparency on where the money went and who got it. So the details... I really wouldn't want to get into the details about what's reported in the post or pre-event checklist. The intent is to have a post and pre-event checklist with a certain time limit on getting them done. and just to present them to the national office and the LSB. And there's plenty of materials, or is adequate authority in the bylaws for actions to be taken if anything is required. There's nothing in this policy. It's just transparency. It's just let them take a look at it. But again, I don't think we want to spend any time in this committee going over the details of what's in the checklist. I did the best I could to put that together, and that could always be adjusted later. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had a stack, and I think it went Kim, Jim, and Campbell. So let's go in that order. Kim?
I had a couple of little word changes that I thought would help it. In the first paragraph, will be followed by all events conducted by stations, whether done in-house, independently, or in coordination with another entity. So I'd like the phrase in-house added. Under number one, pre-event checklist shall be presented and prior to any contractual commitments 2 weeks prior to the event. Well, I asked the question, what if they don't sign a contract? A pre-event, okay, maybe I misread it. A pre-event checklist shall be completed and presented 2 weeks prior and prior to the event and prior, oh, I see. Prior to any contractual commitment, we have had, I think, a few events that have had no contractual commitment, unfortunately. So, you know, what if they don't sign a contract? Then they can say, well, we didn't have a contract, so nothing to show. So that's an issue. And at towards the end of that, the checklist will include a description of the event, a budget, a list and description of the principals involved. I'd like to add what special fees they will get, if any, and an inventory of merchandise.
Okay, Kim, what you're doing is basically amending the motion verbally out loud. I think that what you need to do is sit down and come up with an amendment if you want to amend it.
Well, I'll send this out to the group, and they can look at my changes. How about that? Because I think without these, it's a little sloppy.
I think that you need to write those things down and send them in. I don't think doing it out loud like this is quite. It's hard for people to follow you.
Okay. I will send it to the group, but I want these considered before, you know, I take a vote.
Then you're commending the motion, so write it down and send it out, and we will not go to a vote until we look at your amendment. Next person on the stack is Jim.
The issue I had was the low dollar amount for expenditures where this would kick in. For $500, some of the events we have, if you have a couple of cheese plates, a jug of wine, and somebody comes in on a plane, for a very, very simple event, this kicks in. And I just wonder if this should be higher in the $2,000 range. The other thing on the checklist, I don't know why exactly you wanted the staff hours required. I think it's just you want to get an idea of how much an obligation it is by the station. I just wonder on some larger events how cumbersome that is. I know we'd probably put on maybe two events a year that take maybe 3 months or 3 month period to plan. And I don't know if you can get any even close to an adequate description of the staff hours involved. I think it'd be guessing if they actually put those hours down. And I don't think there would be any kind of a sign-in sheet that could be used to adequately do that. Those are my two problems.
Okay. Sounds good. Same thing goes. We'll take amendments in writing for the motion if you want to do that. Okay. Next person on the stack was Campbell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was thinking, well, there are a couple of things that somewhat bracket this area, and I think that it's an important thing to provide. I don't know whether this would be within it or not, but I'll share these with the committee shortly. First thing is that there's a specific protocol that we had developed for our U Street jam, and that facilitates being able to handle the finances in a positive way and responsible way. Second thing is a planning and analysis tool that can be used for events, and maybe it would have a place fitting into this overall context. But those are things that are written and can be shared, but in terms of the applicability to the document, I think that we can go ahead with approval of the document and then just have this as something that would be both and, you know, just an additional benefit. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to look in my email and see if the amendments have come. Kim's has.
Kim, again, while you're taking a look at it, can I?
Yeah.
I mean, Jim, I understand your concerns, you know, and, of course, every station is different, but I don't think we take into consideration. I mean, KPFK has lost money on these events year after year. I mean, what happened this year is not unusual. It's just bigger. And I think we need to evaluate how we're spending how we're using our resources, which includes staff, paid staff people. And is this the best use of the paid staff? I think we have to start making those kinds of evaluations because it's just lose-lose. You know, we're paying staff and we're losing money. Somehow we need to control this and start doing something different.
Okay, Kim, what are you changing in the actual
motion?
Don't
you see the red? Don't you see the red? There's
I don't see the red, no.
Oh, Christ.
I'm viewing it in Google. Am I screwing something up? But I don't see the red. Do other people see the red?
On my email.
I see purple.
What?
It's like purple and underlined to me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you all know what Kim is changing. So, good. That's fine. I don't have to know. It's for some
I don't know why
not...
it came to you in Google. Should this be a Word doc?
Well, I'm in Gmail. I opened it up in Google View. Maybe if I open it up in Word, it will look different. But,
yeah.
Okay, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, Arlene? I think Google doesn't like Microsoft. What do you know about that?
Arlene to the stack.
Okay, Arlene, go ahead.
I just want to say that I also talked to Tracy about this independently of seeing Ken's and Kim's recommendation, but it came out of some of their concerns, and I wanted to say I agree with the basic concerns, at least, that we need to really take a good look at what special events cost, make sure that we've got some good accounting for them, and that we also are analyzing whether they're worth what's being put into them. One station that I'm aware of used to do, you know, 50-plus events a year, and they were they certainly contributed a significant portion to their budget, but as the economy has turned down, they found that people weren't buying as many tickets, so they've cut back to like 30-some. At other stations, special events just kind of have carte blanche, and nobody's really controlling the expenses, and perhaps the worst example of this happening was the recent situation at KPFK. At least it's the worst in the years that I've been here. But I've seen it happen before I joined Pacifica at other stations, too. And probably the worst event in the history of Cape Pacifica that I know of was the gala event in Washington a few years ago, a beautiful event, but it lost, I think, the most money that any event with has lost.
Camel for a stack.
And so I would like to encourage that we definitely work on, you know, getting some standards and insisting that stations follow them. I support this.
Okay, guys, just a note. I mean, I really will ask for stacks all the time, so we don't have to interrupt each other. But I heard Campbell and Ken, and then hopefully we will make our way towards a vote.
Kim to the stack. It'll be quick.
Okay, Campbell, you're up.
Thank you. First, the gala in D.C. was a financial success. We got $200,000 and a commitment for $1 million that subsequent issues were problematic with. But there was a $200,000 gain. The actual event take itself wasn't that much, but we wouldn't have had the $200,000 if we didn't have the event. The problem that we did have was with the duck race. That was a loss. We lost about $30,000 on that.
Okay. I heard Ken, followed by Kim.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I can't use a fancy word. I don't think we should waste time talking about the past history of events. This is not to just monitor bad events. It's also to monitor good events. It's just to monitor events. I hope we could just take discussion to what the amendments were, and I'd like to disambiguate them and handle them one at a time. In Kim's document, the first red sentence is, what if they don't sign a contract? That's not going to be in the policy. So I assume that the first phrase she wants is what special fees they will get, if any, and inventory of merchandise. And I would change that to any fees or honorariums, comma, and a full inventory of all merchandise or whatever the word is for gratuities given, you know, like handed out free T-shirts or something. So a full inventory, but I wouldn't say what special fees they get, if any. I would say any fees or honorariums, and then a full inventory of distributed materials or merchandise. And I would hope we could just do this one line at a time so we don't have to approve all.
It's Barbara for the stack.
Mm-hmm. Kim is next, followed by Barbara.
Well, is Ken finished going through the lines?
Ken is not finished going through the lines.
I'm hoping we just don't do that. We should go through one line at a time, because if we try to, we can't argue 6 points. And
oh, okay, whatever. Okay, I have two comments. I have just one comment to make. And,
But I did say we shouldn't talk about past events. We'll be all night talking about the history of events. It's a waste of time. We have
emotion. I understand. But I do, you know, I noticed on the audit, because I was looking to see how other stations did with their community events, and it didn't look like T did so well last year. Like a really big loss for overall events. And I don't know, I thought T always did really well with their community events, but it was a pretty big net loss last year.
Point of order, could we just talk about this motion?
Okay.
The history of events.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
Okay, well,
okay, Kim, go ahead and finish.
Yeah, I don't know how you want an inventory of merchandise, because what happens is, you know, in our events, we have book signings, and they record what they made to sell tickets, but they never mention, oh, we had to buy X amount of books. They're never put together. So if that's the intent of this. I want to make sure that does get included going forward in how we accurately evaluate these events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, point of order. I just made a recommendation of changing the phrase to inventory of all merchandise and materials distributed.
Or sold.
Oh, yes. God. Guys, I'm going to make a suggestion here. It's already 7 o'clock. We have a bunch of stuff on the agenda. Given all the amendments, this is going to take a certain amount of time to work through. How do people feel about postponing this for the next meeting so we can all look over all these line-by-line adjustments and allocate some time to go over this item by item?
Two or three more.
I move to postpone.
All right.
I think it might not be the best use of time tonight. Jim has also sent in some amendments. I think maybe this just needs a little bit more, more work. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Any objections? Okay.
Jim's the lawyer. I definitely want to read his suggestions.
Okay. I don't hear any objections, so we'll just roll this over to the next meeting. I don't think there's any reason it's insanely time-sensitive, and if we get it resolved at the next meeting and approved at the BNB in August, that'll be okay. Okay, next item that we had was Campbell's forbearance item, so we will move to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm putting together a copy of what I had sent out previously to our ED, and along with a recommendation for the present time that I believe will provide some assistance for both WPFW and WBAI in terms of our efforts to secure facilities. I trust everyone has a solid appreciation. Having a going concern alert as part of our audit is a big black eye. And what we would be well advised to do is to engage this, especially for I and W, to engage this in a fashion proactively so that what we can do is to talk about how things are getting better in Pacifica and how we're planning to do better in the future. So I will share this with the committee, and I don't think that it's anything that needs a specific vote. I think it's something that can be acted on without that. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Ken to the stack.
Ken, go ahead.
Well, I just emailed out a definition of forbearance, which normally applies to mortgages or forbearance agreements. So I think that rather than presenting it as a general concept, if Campbell wants to present it, he's got to give us a specificity of, like, who do you want us to do a forbearance with, about what, under what terms? So, because we can't agree to, like, oh, yeah, let's do forbearance without knowing specifics.
Let me just...
for what, for how much.
But right.
That's all. That's my statement. That's all.
It's, Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell?
Yes. It's with our major creditors, okay? That would be Democracy Now!, et cetera, and FSRN. And I think that certainly securing a forbearance, what I mean by that, so that everyone can be on the same page, I realize that I'm using it a bit differently from a very classic kind of usage. But what this would do is to provide that a longer term for us to make the payments that are due. If the payments that are due are stretched out beyond the current period, then no longer are they current liabilities. Then no longer is Pacifica in a position whereby its current assets cannot pay its current liabilities. Therefore, that's where we have the going concern alert. If these were longer-term liabilities, then we wouldn't have that going concern alert. However, we do have it now. When I had sent the first correspondence off, we did not have that. And it was something that I believe Ross Wisdom would have been inclined to not issue or reissue a going concern alert because, indeed, our current assets would be greater than our current liabilities, and we would not be in that perilous situation. But since, to my knowledge, nothing has been done to secure that, and I had received no contact in regard to it, I want to supplement the idea with several other things that can also strengthen the position of the two stations that are trying to get a new facility. Thank you.
Bill, mm-hmm. Stack.
Point of
have a PN, we don't have a closed session scheduled, and we will not be meeting that way. So, Campbell, I can suggest that you bring this question to the FRAT next month. That's an option, or perhaps we will get to closed sessions at some point in the future, but it sounds like we can't go much further on this with this
Madam
on
Chair,
a committee level tonight.
Yes, Madam Chair, I was just providing definitional things. I did make mention of a couple of cases in point, but I was just providing definitionally what the concept was. And then the other points that are in here, this is something that does not require an action, although timeliness is of the essence in terms of moving forward on this, especially as it concerns WPFW. So I will share this as an attachment because my emails are getting garbled by beloved Verizon. So I'll just send this as an attachment and to an email that will be titled Forbearance Agreements and Other Station Support. Okay? And
okay.
Everyone should get in the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else on this matter, or shall we move the agenda?
That's all I have.
Okay. Sounds like we're moving it. All right. That's going to take us into a quick check-in on the financial transparency document, which I can do in about 5 seconds. That committee has not met. It is planning to meet on the 12th, and that will be Campbell, Marcus, Kim, and myself, and we should have a document for you at the next NFC meeting, I hope. That brings us to station transfers. I gather since LaVarne is in New York, we do not have the report for this fiscal year. Is that correct, Arlene?
The report, what do you mean by the report for the fiscal year? I'm sorry.
The Finance Committee had requested a interstation report summary in accordance with the old mission starting from the beginning of this fiscal year.
Right. She's got people working on it, and we will certainly have that before the board meeting, but we don't have it yet, no.
Right. Okay. So that's still a pending item, and we are waiting on it. So that will bring us to the discussion of the audit, which was Art Paul's item. So, Art Paul, do you want to motivate it, I guess, is the proper term?
Yeah, hold on 1 second so I can put it in here. Since I have to do the minutes. 1 second. Okay. All right. The audit has already been brought up a little bit already. The audit is out at long last, and
a personal privilege. I can't hear R. Paul.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Better.
Okay, I guess you can hear me. The major thing is on what is this page 24, I think it is. item number 19, ability to continue as going concern. This is, since this has gone out in the past couple of days, and apparently it's been in the current in all of this, so the world knows the whole thing, this is something I think we really need to, I don't know, if nothing else, take a step back and a deep breath and say, you know, the last sentence, accordingly substantial doubt remains as to the ability of the foundation to continue as a going concern as of the date of this report. And I don't think, you know, I don't want to step into something where we would have to go into executive session on it, but I don't know, do we want to have some sort of a discussion on exactly what we think of this? And is, I mean, you know, to a degree, it's sort of like, does this really strike other people as being a deal where it looks like we're headed towards the edge of a cliff and rapidly? Because this thing, you know, we've had others in the past, but we've got another one here, and I'm very concerned about it, and I'm wondering how everybody else feels about it, and is there something the NFC should be doing extra about this?
Campbell, first.
Alex on the stack.
I heard Campbell, and then I heard Alex. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack?
Bill.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to Campbell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think that for someone who's reading that article without the benefit of looking at the audit itself, that can be, you know, very perceived very negatively. However, I think that if we look at the overall picture of Pacifica's performance, the fact that we are doing better, we haven't, you know, we're on the path, though we may not be totally out of the woods yet, and we have defined a path to get out of the woods, I think that those points are very important for anyone who wishes to understand the status and condition of Pacifica to have. So I would urge us to perhaps, if management can provide a statement that would maybe help put in context the circumstances, how our indebtedness in the past has been reduced, and the fact that we have strategies, a range of strategies that are being employed throughout the network that are going to, we are very confident, will reap positive results. I agree it's worth discussion, but I think that the discussion should look at the cup as being half full, and that's where we are. And I think that the terminology, technical terminology that was used by the auditor, is something that can be considered very scary to people who are not professionals in this arena. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ken to the stack.
Okay, we're going to move to Bill. Arlene to the stack.
I think I was on the stack, Tracy.
Yeah, I was going to go to Bill, to Alex, and then to Arlene. But Alex, if you want to go first, that's okay. Okay.
Doesn't matter to me.
All right, let's go to Alex and then to Bill.
Okay, I kind of agree with the general thrust of Campbell's remarks. It's a stern, I take the statement there as kind of a stern warning that if we continue going in the direction we've been going, then we are going to go off on the edge of a cliff. However, there should be some recognition that we have taken some steps to change direction. Hasn't been sufficient, and we still have some serious problems, but I do think we have to be a little more contextual in interpreting the auditor's report. And as far as that article about Pacifica's so-called austerity budget. Although the article did not make any factual errors, as far as I could tell, I think it was kind of one-sided in that it lacked context. And I do want to bring up one item from that article that the article talked about some issues relating to our CPV audit, which I believe were only discussed in a confidential session of the National Board. So I'm wondering where the person who wrote that article got that information from. It's also one-sided because although the article mentioned fines that were applied by the CPB, it failed to mention that we had never been audited by the CPB before, and the fines that were applied were for failure to properly interpret some of their requirements as far as reporting income. So, and these were not exactly written in a straightforward manner. So it was an honest error on our part, and it was something that it was part of a practice that had been going on for years and years. So I think that it was sort of a one-sided article. As far as what the National Finance Committee could do about the audit, I think we could contribute to a discussion of the audit by examining, reviewing some of the figures. I had a chance to look at it briefly, and I did notice one figure that I was puzzled about. It had the fiscal 2011 tower rent for WBAI at $570-something thousand. And I do recall that when I looked at an expense report that was provided by the general manager for fiscal 2011 tower rent, it was something on the order of just slightly under $500,000. I had a chance to ask our general manager about the discrepancy, and he believes it was because we paid 2 months from a previous that we had owed previously in 2011. He wasn't totally certain about that, but anyways, discrepancies like this, maybe we could check out and go over some of the figures in this audit.
We're going to go to Bill now.
Okay, I tend to agree mostly with what Campbell said, too. But to be a little more specific about what this committee can do and needs to do, I think the most important thing is we need to make sure that the expense cuts, the expense reductions that Arlene is working on with the GMs, that make sure they get implemented and that the budgets reflect that. I think it's impossible to do what the auditor said in that note 19 about restoring adequate working capital within the current year. I didn't really think that was the goal. It's really not realistic. But I think we can restore it within a few years, and that's what the recovery plan had. And cutting these expenses will make that easier. And, in fact, it's really essential since our revenue has dropped this year. So the main thing our committee needs to make sure we do is ensure that we don't allow expenses to exceed revenues, and ideally we should be budgeting for a surplus for next year. Not just ideally, we definitely need to budget for a surplus next year so that we can start making a dent in our debt and start establishing some working capital.
Ken to the stack.
Kim to the stack.
Okay, I think Arlene was next.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, everybody. Let me give you just a hint of background on the article. As I was told by the reporter from Current that contacted me, and some of the information did come from me, she had been sent information by the programmers group at WPFW, and some of it was definitely misinformation that I corrected on the phone with her. I am currently writing a response to the article that appeared because there are some discrepancies, and I think it really gives the wrong picture. I'm not happy, but I wasn't happy when she called me. And we are definitely dealing with this. One of the issues, I'm not saying that it's totally, and I'm not making this as an excuse for the managers on budgets, but I do know that part of what they are trying to do is take into account the cuts that I'm mandating that they make and work those into the budget. And while they can certainly work in the overall figure, I think they're also trying to work it into the personnel section and are still wrestling in some cases with for sure what makes the most sense for those cuts. So that's part of the problem with budgets going forward. And it also is something that we need to really watch for next year. Unfortunately, there will be some expenses due to the cuts that are going to carry into the new fiscal year. But if we pull those out, we need to see a reduction of $1 million from what we budgeted this year, and it needs to be realistic. And that's what I'm hoping that this committee will do. This committee, I thought, did a great job last year with making great strides in that direction. And unfortunately, some of the revenues have come up shorter than we realistically expected. So we really need to be cognizant of these issues as we work on the budgets.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Alex.
This to Arlene. Am I wrong in recalling that the discussion on the CPB audit was held in closed session? And I mean, I understand that this will become public eventually, but I don't think we were quite ready for that. And I'm just wondering how it became.
The audit is actually posted on the PNB website.
Oh, it was. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I stand corrected then.
Yeah.
Ken to the stack.
I had Kim and Ken on the stack. Is there anyone else?
No, it was Ken and then Kim.
Okay. Is there anyone else for the stack? Okay. Ken and then Kim.
Okay. I just had a question. Yeah, it's wonderful. You should definitely go back with statements, although most people just read the first article. However, I did want to had a question. Since the CPB audit results were disclosed, this doesn't have to go into closed session. Isn't that a failing in the independent auditor not discovering that? I mean, he's familiar with nonprofits. I mean, that was a general rule. It's not a new ruling from the CPB or the IRS. So he was deficient in previous audits in discovering it, and in our audit, he had to be informed by the CPB about that.
Well, I met with a potential auditor today, not because I'm selecting the auditor, but to pass the name on to the audit committee who does select the auditor. And I was basically told that was the case by the auditor I met with today.
Thank you.
I think, though, we're getting awfully close to things that we shouldn't be discussing on open session.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to Kim.
Well, first of all, this problem has been years, through several different auditors, so whatever, for that.
We've had auditors since 2002.
Pardon me?
We've only had two auditors.
Right. So two different auditors did the same thing, okay? Just point of fact. I just want to say that, this idea of, oh, yes, we're going to monitor the expenses next year, I have been saying that KPFK has been under budget since our first fund drive when we were like over $200,000 under budget, and it's gotten the same at every drive. I have been saying this for months. So I don't know how to get anybody's attention when things are going awry and action needs to be taken. I mean, I started last November. and we're in July, and nothing has been corrected. So I don't really understand how we can change this going forward so problems actually do get addressed before they become a crisis like it is now.
Tracy, could I just make a one-sentence response?
Yes, that'll be fine.
I do agree that we have a very serious situation, but I don't feel that we are in any more of a crisis than we have been basically for the last year.
I'm talking about KPF. I'm talking about KPFK specifically. Yes, we're in a bigger crisis now than if we had dealt with this 4 months ago or 5 months ago. That's when you were just saying, oh, yes, we're going to monitor the expenses. Going for you next year, we're going to monitor these expenses. Well, I did my job as the treasurer to alert everybody that KPFK was having a problem. I don't know how to complain about the auditor's comments. I can't pretend that they're not accurate because we don't fix things. You know, we don't fix them when we could fix them in order to actually change the outcome in due time. To say, oh, well, the audit is going to hurt us because it's there. Well, it's there because we don't do these things early. We just let them simmer until, wow, now here it is 6 months later, and it's worse than it would have been if we had dealt with this 6 months ago. Anyways, that's my point. Thank you.
Okay, this is Tracy. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Arlene, I think you wanted to say something. Is that correct?
Oh, I said what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, does anyone else want to be on the stack, or should I just go?
Go.
Nobody cares. Okay.
We're all on mute. Go.
All right. I guess what I would say is, fiscal year 2010, we lost almost $3 million. Fiscal year 2011, we lost $575,000 or whatever it turned out to be in the audit. I think it's around $600,000. That is a big difference. Is that good to lose $500,000 or $600,000? No, that is not good at all, and we can't afford it, and it's a mess, and we added it on to our debt. However, it is, folks, a 75% improvement. So whatever was going on a couple years ago, less of it is going on now than it was before. Is that as far as we need to go? Should we perhaps have acted more aggressively a year or two ago? I think there's some argument that perhaps we should have, and then we would be out of insolvency, and we're not. But that said, it is a significant improvement, and I continue to think that the auditor did not perhaps give it as much weight as perhaps he should. I mean, I've been involved with struggling organizations before, and it's hard to have a $2.3 million improvement in a single year. That's not nothing. That said, here we are in 2012, and I think we'll be lucky to get out of 2012 with a similar loss to 2011, $600,000. It might end up being a bit worse, and that's disappointing and that's upsetting. What I do think is rational that I'm hearing is that we don't correct course quickly enough, easily enough, flexibly enough, and I think that's entirely true. I think we are perhaps oversimplifying what the reasons are for that, but I think there is no doubt that in this organization, when you notice there's a problem and when something actually gets done about it, if something actually gets done about it, can stretch into 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, or a year. And that is scary when you're in an organization that is financially vulnerable, as obviously this organization is. I don't know what we do about it. I'm open to suggestions, but my feeling of it is there's a whole bunch of reasons, and they go way beyond this committee and the people here. Anything and everything that gets done within Pacifica is sort of, force A, force B. They push against each other, and it takes a really long time to navigate through those things if it is, in fact, possible to navigate through those things. But it's not good for the organization, and I don't think there's any doubt that we have got to develop processes that are way the heck more straightforward. And, you know, we've got to have lines of authority that are clear and make sense, rather than sort of an endless ongoing debate about who gets to do what and who tries to stop them, which is basically the way that you drip a lot of money out the side of the car while fighting's going on. And, you know, it hasn't been good, and I think hundreds of thousands of dollars could have been saved with more nimble, flexible responses, but that's some other organization in my head and not the one that we're in. And I think that's really all I have to say about the audit. Does anyone else want to address this, or because we're fairly close to the end of the agenda? I don't think the last item is going to take too long. Or have you all gone to sleep during my speech?
No.
Okay. I'm not asleep. I'm just speechless. I don't, you know, I mean, do we want to pass another motion? Not tonight, you know.
Maybe. I don't quite have the words for the motion that, to me at least, addresses what I think the problem is, but maybe it will come, and maybe it'll come to one of you, which would be great.
I mean, again, we have to call
the agenda. I really object to this chat back and forth.
Ken, it's okay. We can talk for a second or two. Kim, go ahead.
I mean, this is already written in that so-called recovery plan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, the next step is, okay, now we have penalties if it's not dealt with, and how do we do that? And, you know, we can think about it, and if anybody has a good idea, bring it up at the next meeting. But, yeah, I mean, this has to stop.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Okay. Well, then, with all due respect to Ken calling the agenda, consider the agenda called. And that brings us to the last item that I don't think is actually an item, which is not interstation transfers. It was basically an old item that Ken brought up that we then discussed, that we never did anything about, that's been sitting on the agenda for a gazillion years, and I guess I'm just trying to figure out if we do, in fact, want to do something about it at a later meeting or if it's time to let it die. It had to do with how we handle programs that are syndicated across two of our stations or three of our stations, and how we're handling the fund drive receipts that come in. This is most relevant for the KPFA, KPFK thing, because they co-broadcast 2 hours per day, and when one station or the other is in fund drive, they flip money back and forth, which on a basis which is apparently not entirely clear, because one station thinks one thing and the other station thinks another thing. And this deal is unique in the network, and other stations don't do it, and the question was, should we be doing this in a standardized way or not? There's no motion on the floor. There was a stab at a motion that's incomplete, so I guess I'm just going to ask the committee, do we want to try to get a motion together for discussion on this subject, or do people just want to drop it because it's been 3 months?
Ken, I'll speak to it.
R. Paul for Ken.
Okay, let's go to Ken and then to R. Paul.
Could we go to R. Paul first, because I spoke about it in the last meeting.
Okay. All right, I'll go. Yeah, basically the main thing I want to say is that we were asked some questions about WBAI at the at a previous meeting, now I'm 4 weeks ago meeting, and I got the answers from our general manager, and the questions were regarding programs that we get from other places. We're playing, I think it's a couple of programs from KPFA, and the questions were, you know, do we share any of that money with the other station? And the general manager says, no, we do not. We keep every penny. And also, at least one of the programs is basically preempted during our thons. So those are the major questions we had from then. So I've answered them. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul, and I think Ken was on the stack next.
Okay. Yeah, this is it's obvious that there's this is going to have to be coming from National or from the PNB. Stations are going to correctly play to their own advantage, and a lot of stations will feel that they're being set upon by others, taking advantage of them, and all of that stuff. And it has to be handled by a parent organization if there's going to be any cooperation between the stations. I'm not saying it can't happen. There can be a viable accord, but it should be a national policy. It may be beyond the scope of this, the finance committee, to handle it. It isn't just the phenomena that's going on now. It's the phenomena that will go on nationally. If I can just give you 15 scenarios where funds received for materials distributed will have to be allocated amongst the stations in according to some formulas, depending upon who created it, who distributed it, or maybe it was distributed on a third venue, and who received the donation. So it just requires a national policy. And I know I handed out what I had recommended, but I thought we had formed a subcommittee. If not, we'll bring it to the frat or someplace. It's just an absence of policy for handling five franchises and where material could come from one and be distributed on another, and joint fund drives. There's all kinds of potentials.
Yeah,
we don't want to just. I don't want to just. My intention is not just to set a policy for known difficulties, but to try to anticipate potential difficulties and try to make an overall policy. Oh, I know what it was I really wanted to say, and then I'll shut up. The key thing is two key things. It has to be easy for the consumer. And number two, instead of worrying so much about what the correct distribution and formula is to set up a protocol of decision-making. Who's the decision point? So if to say that the national office will resolve any disputes on the handling of interstation fundraising, that then that's it. You know, you've solved the problem by saying problems will be solved in this manner without having to go into all of the details. So that's you know, simplify the motion or something so it can be approved, but we're not ready to do that now. If there's nobody there to work on it, nobody else to work on it besides me, fine. I'll try to get it done somewhere else because I don't want to do these things unilaterally.
Okay, so a procedural question here, guys. If it were not budget season, I would be cool with setting up another subcommittee. But in this case, I think that might be sort of overkill. We've got a couple going on that are already sort of on fumes, and with the budgets, it's really not probably going to be possible. So I'm thinking that we should possibly accept Ken's idea that we kick this over to the frat and say, you guys do that? And, of course, a lot of us are those guys. So in a sense, we're just referring it to ourselves. But some of you would be off the hook. Does that idea have appeal for people?
Yes, only this is Kim. Can I speak?
Yes,
it does, only in that we don't have to make a decision tonight.
No, we don't. What I'm basically saying is that if you all sort of agree that we're kicking this over to the frat, I'm just going to let it drop off the finance agenda.
Fine.
If you don't agree to that, then it probably lives here.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that, you know. And, you know, we'll have to remember to deal with it over there if we still want to.
Okay. Any strong objections? Anybody think it has to stay with the NFC? It's our thing, and we should never let it go. Awesome. All right. So we dropped it out. So I think that brings us to the end of the agenda, unless R. Paul wants to correct me.
You have to set the date, do action items, and set the date of the next meeting.
We did set the date of the next meeting. It's the 30th. Of the month. After that, we will revert to our schedule in August of the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday, and whatever meetings we need to schedule to accommodate incoming budgets. And there probably will be some extras, and we know that in August and September that often happens. But for now, the only extra meeting that we're scheduling is July 30th. All of our pending motions have been sent to the PNB except for the one that we passed tonight, which I will add. People do need to go over the community events, record-keeping, amendment stuff, so we can get that out of the way at the next meeting. And other than that, Ken, are you aware of any action items?
No.
Okay. Then I think we're good. And, of course, out of the audit discussion, Kim brought up, you know, we should find some motions that accommodate some of these concerns. So everybody should think about that and see if they have anything they can come back with. Yeah.
This is Ken. I want to make one comment. Please email back and forth with any amendments or comments about amendments on the motion. I apologize if the motion had too much detail in it. But, you know, it's horrendous to try to go through doing four or five changes to a motion. So let's try to get it all cleaned up before the next meeting. So
that would be awesome. I mean, if we have to go through it line by line at the next meeting, we'll make time, but it would be great if we don't have to and we can get it into, you know, one clean motion or even one motion can one amendment if need be.
Okay.
Just a little easier to deal with.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we're good. I'll see most of you on the 19th and the rest of you on the 30th. I guess we should have a formal motion to adjourn. Somebody?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.